You're listening to the River East Church Podcast, a Jesus community for the world.
It is my joy to bring you greetings on behalf of the 40 congregations living in relationship with one another as Mennonite Church Manitoba. From Oak Lake to Pinawa, from Cross Lake to Gretna, people across Manitoba are gathering in MCM congregations for worship this morning. While I realize that conversations around your membership in MCM are ongoing, as an affiliate member of the regional church, it is this larger drama that River East Church is participating in today. Thanks be to God. As has already been shared this morning, my name is Jeff Friesen, and I serve MCM as the Director of Leadership Ministries. This means that it is my job to work with the MCM pastors and the congregations they serve to ensure that we have well-supported and resourced spiritual leaders. This can take on a variety of forms, from working with congregations in times of transitions, to assisting personnel committees in times of conflict, to providing pastoral care to pastors in need. For this morning, the part of my work that is of most importance has to do with credentialing. The Leadership Ministries Program of MCM is responsible for holding the credentials for all pastors and spiritual leaders serving us. I'll say more about this during our cross training. That's a good name, by the way. But it's important to know that it is our shared expectation as MCM congregations that our pastors develop multiple accountability structures within both the local congregation and the regional church. Credentialing, whether that's through ordination, licensing towards ordination, or licensing for specific ministry, has become the primary way we do this work together. But enough business, let's get to the sermon. Our text for today is one of the more familiar stories found in the Bible. The call of Samuel is a story that appears all over the place, from Sunday school materials, camp skits, worship dramas, and so on. Samuel's initial encounter with the Lord has become a pivotal story for the life of the church. For today, I want to encourage us to see in this story how Samuel is established as a figure of contradiction. That Samuel is someone whose sense of self is always in a state of tension. In mishearing God's call, Samuel's misaligned sense of self becomes exposed. He sees himself being drawn into the priesthood. God calls him to be a prophet. Who he considers himself to be works in contradiction to who God is calling him to be. Something made clear by the fact that he repeatedly mishears the Lord. And what's more, as a person of contradiction, I want to argue that Samuel becomes a much more relatable biblical figure for us. Creaturely life is full of these moments of mishearing that expose an inner contradiction working within us. By looking at the life of Samuel, we are encouraged to not push these contradictions down, to see the contradictions at work in our life as something we need to escape. Instead, we are to more readily acknowledge the reality of these contradictions, and in so doing, become freed from the burdens they may bear on us. 1 Samuel 3, 1-21 encourages us to ask the question, how do those moments when we mishear God's call expose a misaligned sense of self at work in us, both individually and collectively? What do those moments when we mishear things say about who we truly are? We'll look more closely at the text in a moment, but first I wanted to draw out a more recent example of the transformative effect mishearing can have on us. And I'm going to do so while breaking a personal rule of mine. This is my first time preaching here, so I'm taking a risk. I promised myself that I would not ever talk about a superhero movie in a sermon. While I can understand the appeal of the spectacle of these movies, I feel like they get enough airtime in our lives and that I don't really need to add to this. Other people can speak to this and do so often. Also, I just find the more recent ones to be kind of boring. Which is why I was surprised by how much I enjoyed the new Superman movie. I begrudgingly agreed to take my two kids to see the movie in the movie theaters. My 14-year-old is peak superhero movie age, and my 7-year-old loves any movie with a compelling dog in it, which Superman has. I was caught off guard by how much it captivated me. It all had to do with Superman's relationship with his biological parents, who sent him to Earth from Krypton with a message that was damaged in transit. Anytime Superman was questioning his sense of self, he would listen to this message. With the exception of one part that remained inaudible, the whole thing was clear to him. His parents sent him to Earth to live as a bastion of goodness for the people living there. It was a message of love and hope. Everything Superman has striven to be has grown out of this message from his parents, or so he thought. Later in the movie, we discover that this was not his parents' intention at all. Eventually, the damaged part of the message is recovered. It is a vicious and imperialistic call for Superman to lord over the people of Earth, who his parents call weak and simple, to take multiple wives and establish a new community of Kryptonians who will subject humans to slavery. He's misheard his parents, which causes him to question the whole purpose of his life. As soon as this happened, I was expecting the movie to simply rehash the events that occurred in what remains my favorite superhero movie, the 1983 classic Superman 3 with Richard Pryor. In that movie, Superman has a similar existential crisis which turns him evil. His hair becomes disheveled and his blue superhero suit is dirty. The horror. In the new movie, though, something even better happens. After mishearing his biological parents' message, Superman is able to more clearly see how it is actually his human parents who have shaped him to be a source of goodness and hope. It is these two farmers from Kansas who are actually shaping Superman's life, who are calling him to live in a certain way. And it is only once he recognizes how he has misheard his Kryptonian parents that the call from his human parents can be fully seen, felt, and understood. The contradiction at work in him never fully goes away, but this mishearing allows him to more readily live into the calling his parents have given him here on Earth. We see a similar thing happen to Samuel in our text for this morning, albeit without all the kitsch and hoopla. Samuel mishears the Lord's call, assuming it to come from Eli, the priest he was being called to replace. 1 Samuel chapter 2, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the corruption of Eli's son is contrasted to the goodness and purity of Samuel. While Eli's sons are described as despicable people who didn't know the Lord, Samuel was a young boy serving the Lord, clothed in a linen priestly vest. This comparison prompts in us an understanding of Samuel as a worthier holder of the priestly office than the family of Eli, who would have received this office through custom. This sense is then fortified in chapter 3, where we discover Samuel lying down in the temple while Eli remained in his room. Up until this point, Samuel had had no reason not to believe his life was moving in a priestly direction. In fact, there's even an eagerness on display from Samuel. You kind of get the sense that he is expecting his call from the priesthood to come, and to come soon. Eli is sick, and he is a faithful servant. It's clear where this is headed. So it should be no surprise then that the Lord speaks to him, that when the Lord speaks to him, Samuel assumes it's Eli. This is the moment he's been waiting for. Eli is calling for him. His priesthood is about to begin. But this, of course, is not what happens. It is the Lord calling him with a specific task: to pass judgment on Eli and his family for their evil ways. Just want to pause for a second. This is another one of those texts where we hear harsh words from the Lord. And at times it's tempting to kind of smooth over those words and just pass over them. But for this morning, I think the payoff, the narrative payoff that comes later on in the text, is worth it. Samuel is to be a messenger of the Lord, announcing that the Lord is about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of all who hear it tingle. With some hesitation, Samuel accepts the call, and the passage ends with Samuel growing up. And the Lord was with him, not allowing any of his words to fail. Samuel's mishearing of God's call exposes a contradictory sense of purpose in Samuel. He assumes he's being called into the priesthood. God calls him to be a prophet. This mishearing then repeats itself through Samuel's life. While he is described in 1 Samuel 3:19 as a person of good speech, whose words never fail, as the book continues, we learn that this mishearing never fully resolves itself. His words do fail. In chapter 9, Samuel declares that he sees and knows Saul. But it is only after the Lord speaks that Samuel realizes that Saul is to be named king. He then totally bungles the anointing of David in chapter 16 and needs God's correction to make it right. During one of his speeches in chapter 12, Samuel doubts his capacity as speaker and resorts to meteorological pyrotechnics in order to keep people's attention. I had visions that I was going to say that, and then like fireworks were going to shoot out from behind me, but it's not happening. He fails to see how God's words flowing through him are sufficient enough and ends up being a distraction instead. And then the big one. Samuel does not recognize or acknowledge the wickedness of his sons. The narrative payoff of the earlier judgment placed on Eli arrives during another one of Samuel's speeches. In chapter 8, the people were calling for a king because of their displeasure over how Samuel's sons were behaving, something he fails to ever really acknowledge. Considering that Samuel's calling from the Lord revolved around the failures of Eli and his sons, this failure becomes that much worse. God desires something different from Samuel. He ends up repeating the same mistake as Eli. Even after receiving a clear and precise calling from God, Samuel remains a figure of contradiction. Who he senses himself to be works in tension with who God is calling him to actually be. He fails, but he's not a failure. As I said earlier, this fact, I believe, makes him more relatable and, oddly enough, more hope-filled. He becomes more relatable because the contradictions at work in Samuel's life make him seem much more human. We can all think of moments in our lives where how we live in this life has worked in contradiction with who we believe we are called to be. We all carry these same tensions, believing our lives to be oriented in one way and then being moved in another. I, for example, firmly believe in the horizontal leadership structures in the church, while also believing in the importance of ordination. If you want to hear more about this, come to cross training. And what's more, it will always be this way. There is no getting rid of the continued presence of contradiction in and among us. A key message we receive in the life of Samuel is an encouragement not to allow this fact to inhibit our ability to act. This is where the hope comes in. The desire to get life right, to have it played out in perfection, is strong. And if this desire is what governs us, any contradiction we encounter will be debilitating. We want our words, our actions, to ring true and to ring pure. But unfortunately, life simply doesn't work that way. The biblical story guides us in a different way, urging us to recognize the contradictions at play in our lives and nevertheless speak with conviction. To acknowledge our failures, our shortcomings, such that God's word may continue to flow through us to the world, even at times, in spite of ourselves. If God's word were to only flow through perfect and pure creatures, it would cease to be heard. What we see in Samuel, as with so many key biblical figures, is not an overcoming of all contradictions. It is a recognition of contradiction's necessity. This is radical. So much of our life is structured around the false promise of perfection. Political leaders, from the White House to Parliament Hill to City Hall, claim power by appealing to our desire for a pure life with horrific results. Book bans are proclaimed. Immigrants are kidnapped and shipped away. Marginalized communities across the globe are targeted, seen more and more as roadblocks to our eventual triumph, as opposed to key participants in our global community. And I could go on. Inequality and injustice depends on a belief in the possibility of overcoming contradiction. Samuel, mishearing the words of the Lord and nevertheless acting with conviction, shows us another, more beautiful way. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for listening to the River East Church podcast, the Jesus Community for the World. We are an Anabaptist church pursuing wisdom, prophecy, and compassion here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can find us online at rivereastchurch.ca. We hope you join us for next time, and until then, may grace and peace be with you.